Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
We have come to the third in a series of three letters that the Apostle John wrote to the believers in one of the fellowships in Asia Minor, which is today the country of Turkey. A letter which is perhaps the most penetrating of these three letters, because while 1 John was written to a group of believers, and while 2 John was written to an unnamed woman and her children, in 3 John, John names names. He specifically addresses three men. A man in that fellowship by the name of Gaius, and he names two other men. One in a negative way, a man by the name of Diotrephes, and another, he names one in a positive way, a man by the name of Demetrius. So there was no question. There was no confusion, at least in the minds of those to whom and of whom John was speaking about. This letter speaks of them. And it is John's assessment of these three men that fills these 14 verses of this brief letter. And his evaluation of them is not based on a personal opinion of them. As we've seen throughout the first two letters of John, his assessment is always based on the truth of the Word of God. For it is the Word, it is the truth of Christ that forms the foundation upon which we build everything, upon which we build our lives. And as John has already pointed out in 2 John, the truth of the Word of God is the measure by which we measure our lives. And not only our lives, it is the measure by which we measure the lives of those who claim to know Christ, those who would speak for Him. For there are many deceivers out there, John has already told us, those who've wandered away from the truth. And many times, they've wandered into the church. And in their words, their smooth words, with their deceptive speech, with their man-made authority, with their lies, they attempt to suppress the truth. They attempt to distort it. And so they take the people down the road of eternal ruin. As the psalmist has said in Psalm 62, verse 4, they bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. So John tells us we need to be careful. We need to be vigilant. He tells us we need to be discerning. We need to evaluate all that we hear, all that we see, all that we are told, in the light of the truth of the Word of God. And in 3 John, John encourages Gaius, his friend, his brother in Christ. He encourages him to do just that. He encourages him to be strong in the Lord and to stand firm in the truth. Sound words of advice, words that we need to follow today. And so John begins this letter to this man by first identifying himself the way that he identified himself in 2 John. He simply calls himself the elder, presbyteros in Greek, a man who was a leader in the church, a man who had been appointed by God and given the responsibility as a shepherd to lead and to nurture and to protect the flock of God. A man who was well known and well respected among those in the church, since he was the last of the apostles who was still living. The rest had been executed for their faith. And he was the last of the apostles who had been with Jesus while he was here on this earth. So John was a mature believer. He was a man who was perhaps in his late 80s at this point. Man who had walked and lived for the Lord for many years. And so he writes this letter to his friend. He says in verse 1, to the beloved Gaius, agapetos in Greek, to the one who is greatly loved by God in Christ. Over and over again in the scriptures, we are told that now in Christ, we are the beloved of God. Beloved children, it says in Ephesians chapter 5. He loves us, we're told in Revelation 1:5, and he has released us from our sin. And Paul adds in Galatians 2:20, he loves me. He has delivered me from my sin. He has been delivered up for me. Nothing, he adds at the end of Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this we can be confident. In this we can rest. That if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are the beloved of God. And Gaius was not only the beloved of God, but he was loved by the church. Though he might have been unknown to the rest of the world, among those in that fellowship of believers, he was well known. He was known as a man of character. He was known as a man of integrity, a beloved brother in Christ, whom I love, John adds in verse 1, whom I love in the truth, aletheia, in truthfulness. The truth was the common ground upon which John and Gaius stood together. Their commitment to the truth, their love of the truth, their love of the truth is what bound them together in Christ, bound together in love, a love that we share, a love that we have for each other because of the truth of Christ. Truth of Christ, that is now within us. And so in verse 2, John says again, beloved, dear friend, I pray, eukomai, it is a desire of my heart that in all respects, peri panton, in every way, that you may prosper. Euodo, that you would succeed. It's a word that was used to describe a safe and a successful journey. I pray, John says, that things would go well for you. I pray that things would go well in this journey of life and that you would be in good health. Hugiano, that you would be sound in your body. That you would be strong, free from anything that would prevent you from serving Christ. Just as your soul, suhei, your spirit, your mind, your heart, just as your soul prospers and is well. You are sound in the faith, growing stronger in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. John says, Gaius, you're on the right track. And so I was very glad, he tells him in verse 3, Hiero, I rejoiced in my heart when brethren, brothers in Christ, who had met you in their travels, came to me, and they bore witness, martureo. They spoke well of you. They testified that you were in the truth. They testified to your truth, truth that was evident in your life. That is how you are walking in the truth, peripateo in Greek. You live what you believe. Your life is like a sermon. I'd like a sermon to the truth. Isn't that what we would like our lives to be? A sermon to the truth? You're a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, John says. And Gaius, he declares in verse 4, I have no greater joy than this. Nothing quite touches my heart in this way and causes me to lift up praises to God when I have the privilege to hear that one of my children in Christ, one whom I have nurtured and wept over, is walking and living according to the truth, being diligent to live in the truth. And this is the joy of all those who carefully teach the word of God, all those who would lead in the church, that we would not be indifferent to the word of God, but that we would diligently seek not only to know the truth, not only to understand it, but that we would be diligent to obey it. As we're told in Hebrews chapter 13, those who lead us, so that those who lead us might have joy and not grief. And John had joy because of Gaius. And so he says for a third time, this time in verse 5, Beloved, you are acting faithfully, pistos. You're reliable in what you do. You're trustworthy. You're trustworthy in whatever you do, whatever you accomplish for the brethren. Despite the sacrifices that might be necessary, despite the opposition that you encounter along the way, you are steadfast in the work of the Lord. You're acting faithfully to meet the needs of others in the church. And especially, John says in verse 5, especially when they are strangers, xenos, foreigners, visiting brothers in Christ, those traveling through the region, preaching the gospel of God, preaching the message of Christ. John says they bear witness. They continually testify to your love for them, publicly declaring before the church gratitude to God for your care for them. What a testimony. And when these men of God are among you, John says, you will do well, kalos in Greek. The right thing to do, the thing that is most excellent. What will be pleasing to the Lord is this, that you send them on their way. Pro pempo in Greek. It's a technical term. Equip them. Supply their needs. Send them forth refreshed in the Lord. even traveling with them for a short time. Care for them. Love them. In a manner worthy of the Lord. Axios in Greek. Treat them as you would treat God. Value them like that. Treat them as you would treat Christ, since they represent him. Treat them the way God treats them. For they went out, John says. They left the comfort of their home. They left the love of their family for the sake of the name, on behalf of Christ, in order to bring the message of salvation to the lost and to equip the saints with the truth. Accepting nothing, leaving without any assistance from the Gentiles, ethnos, from the nations, from unbelievers, from the people of the world. Unlike many today, they did not solicit support from those who did not know Christ. Therefore, we who do know Christ, John says, we ought to, ophelo, we need to give them what is due to them. We should willingly support men such as this. Hupolembano, we should take them up under our protection and do what we can for these men. For men like these are worthy of our support. And so that we may also be fellow workers, John says in verse 8, synergos, partners, companions with the truth of the gospel, laboring together, side by side, as we hold forth the word of life. But not everyone in that fellowship was as selfless as Gaius. There were some there who were full of pride. There were some there who were arrogant. And John is about to tell Gaius, to warn him about such a man that was in that fellowship. So he says in verse 9, I wrote something to the church there, a letter. But who knows if that letter ever reached the church? Because there was a man in that fellowship, a very influential man, a man by the name of Diotrephes. Diotrephes had taken upon himself to resist the Apostle John. Not over doctrinal issues, but John says, because he is a man who loves to be first among the brethren. Philo protuo in Greek. He likes the idea of being in control of everything. He wants to dominate everyone in the fellowship. He wants everyone to be in submission to him alone. And so, John says, he does not accept epidekomai. He does not welcome or receive very well what we say. He does not love the truth. He does not love those who speak the truth. And so he rejects our authority and he rejects our guidance. His self-centered ambition has blinded him to the truth. Perhaps he has forgotten, or maybe he is ignoring the words of our Savior, who in Matthew chapter 20 said, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you, he shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And today it seems that many who would be leaders in the church have forgotten those words of Christ. So for this reason, John says in verse 10, if I come to your fellowship, I will call attention. Hupo mimnasko. I will bring a strong reminder. I will shine the light of the truth, and I will expose the source of his actions, and I will publicly bring to an end his deeds. Deeds which he does. He is guilty, John says. He is guilty of unjustly accusing us. Flo areo. He keeps on talking nonsense. He's babbling like a child. But his babbling is not innocent. For he keeps on bringing false accusations against us with wicked words, paneros. With words that are like a disease that is affecting the people in the fellowship and the leadership, undermining the leadership in the fellowship. Slandering those who speak the truth. Slandering those who have come in to the fellowship and who seek hospitality. Who seek love. As it says in Psalm 64, he has sharpened his tongue like a sword, and aimed his bitter speech like an arrow. Behavior which would have been bad enough, right? But John says he's not satisfied with that. He's not content with this disgraceful behavior, for he himself does not receive the brethren who have come in. But then he goes even further. He forbids, koluo, he hinders the work of Christ. He gets in the way of those who desire to do the work of the Lord. He tries to stop those who would assist these preachers and teachers of Christ, these visitors. And John adds in verse 10, if anyone defies him, he puts them out of the church. Ekbalo. He drives them away. What kind of a man is this? Well, I believe we still have men like that and women like that in the church today. Beloved, John tells Gaius, these things should not be. So do not imitate Mimeomai, do not follow the example of Diotrephes, and under the pressure from him, do what is evil. Kakos, do what's wrong. Don't do what's harmful, but follow what is good. Agathos, what's upright, what's kind, what's generous, what's useful. For the one who does good, John says in verse 11, is of God. But the one who does evil has not seen God. Horao. He does not know God. He does not belong to Christ. So John encourages Gaius, don't give in to the threats of Diotrephes, because there is work to be done. There are those who need our help. And John points to a man who needed to be welcomed into that fellowship. A man by the name of Demetrius. A man, John says in verse 12, who has already received a good testimony from everyone. Man who had a reputation of integrity, of character. A man who was well known among the brethren. And he says, his character can also be seen from the truth itself. He has committed his life to the truth, to live according to the truth of the Word of God. So, not only was he holding on to the Word of God was holding on to him. It gripped his heart. It gripped his life. He was living for Jesus Christ. And John, as we also bear witness, we add our testimony. We add our commendation of him as well. And he says, you know, oida, you understand. You're confident that our witness, what we say, is true. Alethes. You know you can count on us to speak the truth. And so John says, oh, I have many things to write to you. This was going to be a longer letter. The situation in the fellowship demands something else. Verse 13 says, I'm not willing, Thelo. I don't have a desire to write these things down with pen and ink. Seriousness requires that I make a personal visit. So he says, I hope, Elpizo, I trust. I am confident that I will be able to see you shortly, you Theos, directly, quickly. He says, then we shall speak face to face, stoma prastoma, voice to voice, in person. Time to encourage one another in the Lord. But he says, until that time, may the peace of God, his peace, be with you and fill your heart, even in the midst of the strife that is there, that is all around you. And take comfort in this, John says, the friends, the brothers and sisters in Christ that are here with me, they greet you. Aspazomai, they wish you well. And greet the friends, the brethren who are there with you. Greet them all by name. We are one in Christ. Do not fear, dear brother. John would say, the truth will prevail. Do not fear. The work will go on. There is victory in Christ. Christ will be glorified, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.